So we begin with Happy New Year. Today we begin again a new church year. We begin it at a time of year to tell the story of our faith when nature all around us has retreated into itself. The days grow darker and colder. The earth hunkers down into the darkness and waits. Advent and Christmas are filled with images of darkness and light, traditionally represented as light as good and darkness as bad. But I suggest something more central to our faith. Darkness is not the place of nothingness, but the fertile place where we most fully encounter the divine. Like the womb, darkness is the place of growth that prepares us for new birth. Like the earth which now lies dormant and yet contains the seeds of new life, so too the darkest places of our lives are pregnant with the possibility of new life and new purpose. Our readings today were written by people who hunkered down in the darkness. If we look at the historical context of the book of Jeremiah, we know it is prophecy of doom and destruction for the people of Judah, punctuated with verses of hope. Chapters 32 and 33 were written at a time when the Babylonians were laying siege to the city of Jerusalem in 587 to 586 BCE. In those passages which precede today's message of hope, Jeremiah makes these dire predictions of what is coming. And for his trouble of prophesying such dire news, his own king, Zedekiah, the king of Judah, puts him in prison, from which he is writing these chapters, including the hopeful message that we heard today. What Jeremiah prophesied in his earlier chapters is the consequences for the nation for its lack of faith and juxtaposing Yahweh's faithfulness to their own lack of faith in God. As a result, many Jews were taken off into exile in Babylon, and Jeremiah found himself in Judah writing to the remnant people. Clearly, he was writing to a people who only saw darkness all around them. Ruled by the Chaldeans under King Nebuchadnezzar, the people of Judah had no hope in the darkness that enveloped them from the occupation of this foreign power. In the midst of that darkness, Jeremiah writes of a time when a righteous branch will spring up from the house of David who will restore Judah and Jerusalem and all things to righteousness, to right relationship as God intended it. God's dream to restore and reconcile all creation to himself as it had been intended. In the midst of total darkness and disaster for the people, Jeremiah offers a vision of hope and redemption for a time that will come in the future. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, as well as Luke's gospel, is also written to communities struggling to maintain an identity in the midst of threatening dominant cultures. Apocalyptic literature, like what we've heard in our readings these past few weeks, is written during a time of communal crisis, a time of darkness when the very life of the community is in question. It is written to give people hope to people who feel hopeless. In the gospel, Jesus talks about signs that look pretty bleak. Chaos, confusion, distress. The heavens themselves will be shaken. But when you see the Son of Man coming on the cloud, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Two different messages in a couple of short paragraphs. What was Luke trying to tell his readers? What does this passage hold for us? what are the signs that are so important in Scripture? I found it extremely interesting that the root word in Greek for the word sign is the same root word used for the word tomb, which is also related to the word mainaume, to remember. A sign is something that points to something else, to help us recall something greater. In a spiritual context, a sign is used over and over again to point to a greater reality beyond itself. To the hearers of this gospel, it would not have been lost on them that, like the sign of the tomb, points to a deeper reality. To a Greek mind, it would have pointed to Kairos, the place of encounter between the finite and the divine. The passage teaches us that the tomb and the signs are not the real deal, but point us towards something more real and true. In a Christian context, the fertile darkness of the grave is the place of rebirth. It is not the end, but the beginning. The barren trees we see outside are not the end, but point to a reality that lies within, a reality of new life to come, of internal growth and transformation that may not be apparent, a sign something new is happening in the fertile darkness. My friends, we live in a time when we mistake signs of the times for the real deal. We mistake the troubles of our world as the hopeless end to the story. We look around at brother killing brother, at religious fanaticism, at environmental devastation, and we, like those in our Bible stories, saw these things and fainted from fear, who are tempted to say, "This is the end. Things cannot get better. Our world is hopeless." This age of fear in which we live, largely because in the darkness we cannot see reality beyond the signs and beyond the tombs of our own limited vision. But as we have been hearing in our scriptures these past weeks, these are the birth pangs of something new. The seeds of new life, the seeds of the kingdom are close at hand right now and right in this very moment. Do not mistake the signs or the tombs of our limited vision for the real deal. There is a deeper reality germinating in the darkest places of our lives and of our world. It is the place where God meets us most profoundly. Christianity centers on this very idea. As we heard last week, as Jesus stood before Pilate knowing he was about to die, at that moment on the cross when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me?" That moment, my friends, is the very moment when God's presence is most fully encountered by Jesus. It is the moment God breaks in and Jesus returns to the very heart of God. During this past year in our community, we have heard stories about loved ones who have died, loved ones who have moved, children who have gone off to college, people who left our church family. We have endured losses of all kinds, individually and collectively. For those of us who have endured dramatic losses, it is only natural to find it difficult from time to time to look beyond the darkness in which we find ourselves. Especially this time of year can be hard for many of us, personally and in community. Like you, I am reminded of those no longer at my table at Christmas. those losses in my own life become amplified during the Christmas season, which is one of the reasons we will take next Sunday to acknowledge the losses of those who recently experienced the death of a loved one, where they might light a candle to bring comfort in the midst of their pain. But today I say to you, darkness is a fertile place, a place that is not the end of this story, not the real deal. Through our faith, we affirmed in the strongest possible terms that there is a reality greater than the signs of the times, a reality greater than the tomb. In the fertile darkness of new life is presented in its fullness. When the Son of Man comes on the cloud, lift up your head, look up with hope. This is the real deal. Advent and Christmas remind us that Christ does come, that Christ does bring new life. In spite of our limited vision, God's love breaks in and does a new thing again and again and again. We gather in this place to proclaim darkness is not the end. Evil does not have the final word, but is the fertile place preparing us for a greater reality, a greater destiny, a greater hope, that new life breaks in as love at the darkest moment of the year. In the bleakest moments of our life, Advent and Christmas remind us love abounds in the darkness, preparing us for new life to come. This Advent, may we prepare a place for new life to spring forth out of the darkness.